avian flu, or H5N1, may be coming to this country, and the federal government is preparing for the worst. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has already published guidelines and checklists for schools and colleges to contain the spread of bird flu. But as NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports, on most college campuses and in school districts, the issue doesn't seem to be a priority.
I didn't just sign in.
On an average day, Towson University's health clinic fields dozens of calls from sick students.
Oh, that sounds very serious. We might need to send you to the emergency room.
The tiny medical staff on this campus of 18,000 students just north of Baltimore, Maryland, is headed by Dr. Jane Halpern, one of only a handful of people here responsible for developing a plan to contain the bird flu if and when it hits.
I think the difficulty here is nobody really knows what it's going to look like until it gets here. So you're trying to set in place policies and procedures that will be triggered by events as they begin to unfold.
Like long lines of people seeking treatment or hospitalization. The war room for such an event is Halpern's small, cluttered office. Her desk, a small table, several chairs, even parts of the floor, are piled high with three-ring binders, medical journals, and stacks of folders with 9 months' worth of planning. And still, says Halpern, this campus is not prepared.
If a pandemic occurred tomorrow, it would be pretty disastrous. I think on a college campus like ours, we have to really be very clear about what we think we can provide and what we can't. And if there is an outbreak of a very severe strain of avian flu and it's spreading very rapidly, do we make the decision to close the university? Do we recommend that? Or is that going to be made for us by the public health authorities?
In Maryland, as in most states, local health officials have the authority to shut down college campuses and public schools. Every state, though, is working on its own guidelines for riding out a pandemic that could shut down schools for weeks or months. Some institutions will be able to offer online courses. Others won't. Towson University, for example, offers very few courses online, so classes would probably be suspended indefinitely. Maryland education officials say the financial impact could be severe, so the message to state and federal planners must be clear.
Do not overlook your schools and universities.
That's Richard Steinke, Maryland's Deputy Secretary of Education.
Schools may need to close in order to create temporary health clinics, quarantine areas, dispensing of immunization drugs and vaccines. We're looking at all of this, and we're trying to create these scenarios. So we've got to really draw on the lessons learned from Katrina and prepare accordingly.
Wait a minute. Katrina, I ask, wasn't the federal and state response in that case inadequate? Yes, says Steinke, but everybody's learned their lesson. Brenda Green of the National School Boards Association isn't so sure.
I don't think people have really given much thought to the pandemic flu crisis yet.
In a survey of 1,900 school districts, Green found that only two had fully developed plans to respond to the bird flu. A handful were barely getting started. And that's not what Washington wants to hear.
The federal government knows it cannot do it all.
Green says schools need models.
I think we need to hear some stories about how the school district and the health department and the mayor all sat down together in the Chamber of Commerce and said, okay, how are we working this together?
Only Alabama, for example, has surveyed parents to see if they have the technology for kids to do online schoolwork at home. Students from wealthy homes, of course, were more likely than low-income kids to be wired or to have access to medical care. And that, says Green, raises a huge question about who'll be the most vulnerable when the bird flu hits. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.